Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree
with me, Mason.
We forgot it's the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast. No big deal. With me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Mason.
Waz. Yep. How do you not say your last name in hopes of people,
you know, it's just like
who you are?
No, I don't care if people know or not know, but it's more just my name is so foreign in these here parts that it's just sometimes I feel like it's a little less overwhelming for someone if I just say my first name slowly. Hello, my name is Mason. Done. And if they are interested and they want to know my last name as well, then I can say Waz. Also confusing and difficult for people to deal with. So I just tended to say, my name's Mason. And then they say, oh, Mason, nice to meet you. And I'm like, did I say Mason? I'm pretty sure I didn't say Mason.
Long story short, I went beyond the bounds of propriety and righteousness and made a Twitter.
Oh, are we talking about that already?
I want to dedicate this conversation to my friend Bobble Rob, who hates any time in a podcast when they go off on a tangent about Twitter. So I dedicate this to him.
But this isn't a tangent about Twitter. This is like a deep, a real serious conversation Kate and I need to have about her. Oh,
I'm ready.
So Kate earlier this week didn't even tell me that she started a Congratulations Pine Tree Twitter.
I mean, I did.
She just posted it via Facebook. So there was no personal conversation. There was no like, hey, partner, let's talk about this. Hey, maybe I should send you a personal message via Facebook since I only can talk via Facebook. There was no Gmail email. There was no fucking text message. There was no voicemail left for me. It was just like, hey, world, Mason's going to get really pissed off when I announced to not only you, but her as well, that I decided to start a Twitter feed for this.
Twitter feed.
What's it called?
Twitter account.
A Twitter account for our podcast. And so that was part of what made me so annoyed, mm-hmm. was that you were kind of getting your kicks off of annoying me, which I think is kind of obnoxious, Kate. What do you think?
I just knew you wouldn't want me to. So I figured I'd just do it.
So you did it anyway.
Well, honestly, I didn't give it that much thought. I was just like, I was just thinking to myself, the listeners. Okay, this is another aspect of this conversation that needs to happen. Listeners. You don't need to call in while we're recording the show. I think that's been a big misconception.
Here's the thing, listeners. This is not a live show.
You're listening to it sometime, yeah. Not while we're recording, because I got to go edit it. I got to put it up. It takes hours.
This show is edited like crazy. Hell. You would not even believe what's edited out.
I'm not even talking right now. So you can call in 419-351-6606 anytime, and it goes to my voicemail, which is recorded onto an MP3, and then we'll play that on the show. Or if you don't want it played on the show, I can paraphrase it. I can take your question and paraphrase it. Or you can text in.
Yeah.
All those things we will later address in the next episode of the show.
And if you want your voice, if you leave a voicemail to remain anonymous, Kate could probably do some like,
oh, I could do some
auto tone tune, whatever.
Also, it sounds so bad over the phone. You probably won't be able to tell who it is anyway.
Oh, right. So there you go. Don't worry.
I can make you sound like an alien. Just say that in the voicemail.
What does an alien sound like to you? Oh, interesting. I've never heard an alien.
So back
like
on
that.
Twitter. Continue. So, I know there's more to be said.
I just don't feel like we need a Twitter account.
I mean, anyhow, I feel like because nobody calls or texts, nobody interacts with us. I see our subscription numbers going up every week.
Right.
And no one.
So maybe people don't want to interact with us. Maybe they just want to hear us talk to them.
Since I started the Twitter account, we've had more people like interacting with us than the entire rest of when the show's been up.
God, you people need to find something else to do with your time. Honest to God. And part of me is just like, are we going to have an Instagram account next? Do you want to do a Pinterest board? Like, what do you want to do next?
Pinterest.
Board.
Grandma.
My middle name is Grandma over here.
Uh-huh.
Facebook is enough. Anyhow, I mean, we don't even have a fucking Facebook page. Do we need one?
Well,
you want to start that one next?
My compromise was that this would be.
I actually think Twitter is probably better than Facebook. I mean, from what I've heard from the young ones.
Oh my goodness.
The
Lord.
Young ones in my life who all think Facebook is dying and they just use Twitter, really. Or Instagram is actually the more popular one these days.
Wait, I want to read you one of the tweets we got in. This is from @StopGoShow.
Listen, @StopGoShow, I don't care what you say, I disagree.
They said, I said, you got to make your case for us to have a Twitter because I'm going to be debating this with Maysoon on the show.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And they said, because your devoted fans want more than just one podcast a week. And until that happens, Twitter is where it's at.
Tough luck. We have other lives to live, people. We are not available to you 100% of the time, and you should know that. You should also not be available to anyone 100% of your time.
No one's asking for that.
I don't know. That's what I mean, come on. Like, once a week is plenty.
We can pop a couple tweets. What I've been doing with
it. That is not how you roll, Kate. Kate's going to be all up on that shit nonstop.
I do get notifications.
As she shrugs her head. Probably.
I also want you to know that I put a disclaimer at the top of our profile that says not endorsed by Maysoon.
And you can leave it there.
Okay. So, but it's okay now. I can be,
no, it's
I can
not
have
endorsed.
My admin back.
Right. So the thing that happened was I kicked Kate off the blog.
So I have no access to the entire podcast right now.
I know. Or just recording for
I was
fun.
Really worried you were just going to delete it all.
No, I wouldn't do that. But I did want you to
put your Tyra Banks angry gif up.
That was a good one, don't you think?
You did really good.
I was like, Kate thinks I don't pay attention. I'm going to show her that I pay attention.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, I'll put you back on the blog. But
thank you.
Next time.
So you don't, but you're begrudgingly.
I'm not going to have anything to do
with Twitter.
You're
going to look askance.
I don't even fucking have a smartphone.
Okay, people, if you have something to say to Maysoon, I've done my best. Go ahead, give us a call or a tweet.
You got to bleep that shit out too, you know.
The tweet thing is @PineTreePodcast.
And what's that about? Pine Tree. Are we
I
now
wish
Pine Tree?
I couldn't put congratulations, Pine Tree. It was too long to fit. Anyhow, moving right along. So that was our big event this last week. A lot of people's big event this last week was the fucking art fuck in Miami.
Excuse me.
So let's get right into it right now. Why the Bay is better than Miami?
Miami is kind of like LA, but LA is way better.
No, I'm saying the Bay. Oh, right, right, right.
Just saying.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Wait, you think that the LA is better than Miami?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And by the transitive property of association, that means that the Bay is better than Miami because the Bay is better than LA. I didn't even have to make an argument.
Like you're like, and I'm done. Check.
Miami is hot.
I've been to LA. I've been to Miami once, and I don't think I did any art related things while I was there. It was when I was a kid. We were visiting my grandparents on Marco Island, and we went for a drive. Went to Miami, and then down to Key West. Is that what's down there?
They
over
got
there
that.
On the
I
Keys.
Think they got something.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. The geography down there is pretty awesome. It's all marshland.
Sucks. Hate it.
I think it's awesome. Anyhow, so Miami,
they have
the
second highest wealth disparity of any major city in the U.S.
After San Francisco?
No. San Francisco's not number one, I don't think. Although it is rising.
It's got to be pretty fucking close. Although everyone who's poor here is just moving out anyhow, so it's just going to be all wealthy people. Anyhow, Miami. I do remember the buildings being pretty incredible. There's like crazy, beautiful Art Deco buildings.
Full disclosure, I've never been to Miami. I have been to Orlando when I was 12 to go to Disney World.
I think they're probably very different.
I bet they're both hot as fuck, humid, disgusting. Your face melts off. Everyone thinks they can levitate. It's a red state. Jeb Bush is from there.
I don't know if I have, I mean, other than the buildings, and I guess people love those art fairs, but I've never been to one, and I don't really want to go to one, actually.
I'm sick of hearing about it.
Yeah. I on Facebook this week, I stopped following people who were just talking about the Miami art fairs. I was like, I can't. There's too many other things that are important in the world right now that I can't be like bombarded with your fucking Miami,
with
how great your booth looks. I don't give a shit right now. I mean, I'm excited. I'm glad for you to be there, but I guess I'd rather hear something more. Like, talk about what conversations people are having there. I don't want to see a picture of your fucking booth. Of course there have been.
Yeah,
which is great. And it's funny, it's like you see the pictures of like the protests going past like the art fairs, and some people in the art fairs are obviously in solidarity with the protesters, but some are just sort of standing there in their chic gowns and suits.
It is so
looking.
Decadent.
Yeah, it is.
And I mean, we're delusional to think that like that doesn't like that's not part of every aspect of like the institutional and academic art worlds that we're a part of. But there is just so like,
well, it's just kind of all brought. It's only those parts of academic or art institutions that are brought together. So it's kind of like just this concentrated
money orgy.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bay is better than Miami.
Merry holidays.
Happy holidays, or if maybe they don't celebrate any holidays and it's just winter.
Happy winter solstice to you.
Or if you don't, maybe you don't acknowledge
just fucking happy
solstice.
Whatever.
Happy winter.
Happy winter. What if they don't acknowledge winter because they live in California?
I don't know.
You know, what there's a lot of very complicated people out there in the world.
What calendar is our calendar? The Gregorian calendar?
Jesus Christ.
The Caesar? Julius?
Some people are not on our calendar.
Happy this moment right now that you're listening to this show and whatever surrounding moments that you participate or don't participate in. Maybe you want to buy some shit. So if you want to buy some shit for your moments or your non-moments.
Happy birthday. Let's just fucking say that.
The Eastside Cultural Center is having their winter holiday sale. They do call it a holiday sale.
Most people do at this point time in the year.
If you need to look, point is, it's Saturday, December 13th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Remember, I talked about them like an episode or two ago.
Last episode.
I really think what they're doing is important, and it would be really excellent for you to support their program.
Are you going to go to the fair, holiday fair?
To the sale?
You, Kate, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. And then
I would
also,
like to go with you.
Oh, great. And then Creative Growth, they just had the opening of their big holiday sale on Friday, this last Friday, and it is amazing.
Did you go?
Yes.
Yeah, I went last year, and it was incredible as well.
They have the most, bizarre things you can find.
Yeah.
And really cute, adorable things, and some really excellent t-shirts, stuff for the whole family.
Stuff for the whole family.
And
have actually great textiles.
And
there.
I think at reasonable prices. So anyhow, their winter sale is still going on, and it is December 14th and December 21st. You can go to their holiday sales and support another nonprofit that I think is doing very, very important work.
The San Francisco Bazaar is happening Saturday, December 13th. I've actually never been to that, but it sounded interesting. Lots of local crafters.
Sounds bizarre.
Lots of local crafters. Right. That's bizarre as in B-A-Z-A-A-R. Sunday, December 14th, there is Magic Makers Queer Arts and Crafts, or Queer Art Craft. I can't see the rest of this title. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say.
It soon has a printout that's like one inch stripe of information.
You know, I made a list and then I fucking forgot it at
work.
Well,
we can post all these links on our
We're going to post them, definitely.
The link poster. Okay, today's episode is going to be the art review. That last review being VUE, meaning we're going to be doing
a song and dance, maybe just a song,
a singing and dancing variety show. We're not really, but I would like listeners to know that that is an idea I'm very interested in. And if anybody would like to workshop it with me, I would really appreciate it. This is an addendum. I just want to note to the listeners that the art review was originally thought up by our research assistant, Katie Kondo. She was very adamant that I credit her with this idea, and I have so done so.
This week we chose
several readings from Art Practical, and we'll have links to all those in the link world, so just pause the podcast right now, go to the link section, read all the articles that we put down there, and then turn this back on, and you can put your feedback while you're listening to the thing, pretend you're talking to us. Let's do that one, Bill Bergson. Bergson was a professor of letters and sciences at SFAI until 2008. He's now professor emeritus. He was also a visiting lecturer at Thrills College.
otherwise known as Mills College, just for those of you new listeners who don't realize what Kate's talking about.
So you wrote this little article. It's called Critical Reflections. It's from 2010. Diving back into the time machine.
Actually, the original article is from 1990. It was published in Art Forum. Just by the way.
Diving back. We wanted to do some current readings, but apparently Art Practical this month, this quarter, this season.
This particular feature, their most recent issue, is kind of like a reflection.
Dive back into the past.
Well, it's just reflections on the year.
This was basically a review of art reviewers.
Yeah.
And the critic, and what is the critic's role.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I mean, I liked, so Bill Berkson is a poet, and so I liked some of his sort of, I guess, analogies around how poets work versus how an art critic, maybe who's not also an artist, writes. I mean, I thought that was interesting to think about how poets are, they use words in a very different way than maybe a writer, or not a writer, but then like a art critic might use words, and it, those words might be more appropriate for actually talking about art in a very, in a different way.
Yeah, he like compares the 500 word review to like a sonnet, I think. I liked when he talked about how Clement Greenberg is never going to be the answer to a crossword puzzle question.
I know.
But then
he said, and also the artist that he's writing
wrote about.
Yeah, I thought that was clever.
But I thought this whole article was kind of diminishing like the role of the critic, which is fine. Like, he was kind of saying that critics are very self-important, but really, like, it's kind of bullshit. Like, we're just writers.
At one point, he also said, like, art critics or art criticism isn't its own profession.
But I think that that kind of skirts the responsibility that critics have. Like, critics do make an impact. Like, even if you don't know Clement Greenberg's name, you're living in a reality that he molded. Okay, another Art Practical article that we took a little stroll through this week.
Also from quite a while ago.
The Cheese Stands Alone, The Trouble with Funny Art by Jessica Breer.
Who's currently in LA getting her, I think she's getting her master's.
You go, Jessica.
She's awesome.
Don't know why I had to go to LA to do that, but anyhow, this is from 2011. It was all about comedy, and she broke it down into different categories like slapstick and deadpan humor and body or raunchy.
And also, what was it
humor.
Like?
It's actually in two parts.
Oh, the inside joke.
Oh, I like the inside joke.
I thought it was good.
And at the end of the first part of the article's like part one, part two, and then the
Did you read the second part?
Yeah.
You did.
But at the end of part one, she's like, I understand now why people don't write about this, because she's kind of talking about how this is kind of an ignored facet of art, is humor and satire, whatever. And it's because it's so hard to write about, because what's funny is subjective, and to explain it makes it not funny anymore.
Exactly.
And some of the things she thought were funny, I didn't really find that funny.
Yeah.
Like the Ed Richey,
that ad he took out.
Yeah, there's an ad Ed Richey made in Art Forum where it's Ed Richey in bed with two women in a very stately looking bedroom.
Yeah.
And there's a text over the bottom of the image that says, Ed Richey says goodbye to college joys. What the fuck is funny about that? I don't find that funny at all. Because he's like having a threesome, so... Can you explain that to me, Maisie, while still maintaining the humor? Can you explain it to me in a way that makes me think it's actually funny?
I think there was also what she talked about, that it was also in place of an ad, so it was like an advertisement about his work, but also in this weird way. It was sort of like diverting the way you're usually experiencing those magazines, I guess. I think maybe if you saw it in context, you might get it.
I guess.
Or you might be a little bit more curious about it.
I suppose.
I mean, my initial thought was like, would there ever be an image of like, you know, two men and a woman? That was my initial thought. Was like, oh, here we go, another white man with two women is a fucking fantasy.
Yep.
So that was kind of like where my head went, but I was just like, okay, this is a different time. I'm sure this is published in like the 60s or what was it?
67.
A totally different time in this country. Not to say that it's, you know, okay or fine, but just that. I think where our headspace is now, this sort of ad would not be funny to
us
today.
On a related but tangential note, I feel like threesomes with two women and one man are more common than two men and one woman.
I think so, too. Women are maybe...
Who wants that?
Speaking as a lesbian, Kate says. Sorry, or not. I don't know how you...
Yeah. Queer, lesbian,
queer,
it's all good.
Okay.
I don't
wanna,
all good.
I don't want to label you.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole political thing of lesbian. Yeah. I feel like we're leaving lesbian and gay in the past, and we're kind of moving on into the queer future and transhumanism, but that's
speaking
a whole nother episode.
Queer futurist.
Yep, that's a whole nother episode. Anyhow, I liked this article. I thought it was an interesting topic, and I give it 9.5 stars. And that's my art review, review, review.
9.5 stars.
Uh-huh.
I like that Jessica just tried, you know, attempted to tackle this issue, because I think it's one that we probably all thought of. Kate, whose work is incredibly humorous, I'm sure you think about this all the fucking time, like how humor is translated into art writing.
I don't, but yeah.
You don't, but maybe now you will. Maybe now you should start thinking about it, Kate. Yeah,
I did when I was reading this article.
Yeah. But my takeaway from this is, like, maybe comedians should write about work that
I
has
feel
humor.
Like comedians, when they write, are the... don't write about comedy and how it works, really. I read a lot of stuff from comedians.
I haven't read much work from comedians as much. I mean,
because they know better than anyone that when you try to dissect that shit, it just falls apart. I actually heard I heard an interview recently that Mark Maron did with, I think, a couple of scientists that are writing about how humor works scientifically.
Okay.
And comedians fucking hate that. They think that everything these guys say, no matter how much data or whatever they have to back it up, is all garbage and bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's beyond, I mean, I feel like comedy...
comedy's
like,
not coming from fucking data.
Right.
It's coming from, like, a visceral response to something.
I feel like comedy, too, like, maintains that kind of, like, magic and secrecy that art has, like, completely lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, art, I feel like...
do you think art has lost that?
I feel like all the magic and whatever that art... had it, if it ever had it, has been kind of like degraded by like the institution in the commercial art world. Mm. Like, especially like that whole Sarah Thornton book, The 33 Artists in 3 Acts, or even her book 7 Days in the Art World, was all about kind of demystifying like what people think is like this magic and mystery.
Yeah.
But I feel like comedy still has that.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. Has this kind of like, there's something in comedy that's like untouchable by science or analysis or whatever.
God, what a nightmare that we've completely ruined ruined art. How sad.
I don't know.
I don't totally agree
have.
With that. I mean, yeah. I feel like there's certainly still magic.
I think that's the glory of comedic art.
Yeah.
Maybe it gets back some of that. Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
All right, and then the third of our trifecta. I loved it. Questions I Haven't Found Answers For as an Artist by Guillermo Gomez Pena. Fucking great. Loved it. Short questions. I thought maybe we could answer some of these because I feel like I do have answers to many of these questions.
I was actually going to write all my answers down to the ones that I did have answers for, but...
Okay, so one of the questions was, how come people speak with much lower... this is the very first one. How come people speak with much lower volume when they are inside a museum?
I think part of it, I think, is respect. It's like, I don't necessarily want it. Like, it's like being on the train and having someone next to you on their fucking cell phone. It's like, I really actually don't want to hear your cell phone conversation.
Or, like, being in the movie theater. Like, talking during a movie. Like, if somebody needs that quiet to be able to fully absorb the work.
Yeah.
Then you're kind of fucking that up for the next person if
basically,
you're too loud.
Not that, yeah. So I think it's more of a, like, from my perspective, it's more of a respect thing.
Oh, this was a great one. Is there a codified mental disease or an eccentric sexual taboo that compels certain people to secretly caress or lick the artwork in museums? I have worked in museums and I have not touched art inappropriately when I was like charged with stewarding the work. Okay, I'll say that.
I have.
Really?
No, I didn't say that out loud. You have to delete that.
Are you serious?
I have. I've been at like...
so I'm leaving that in.
I mean, I haven't licked anything, but I've certainly like touched sculptures where I'm curious about. Not intensively, like a little tiny poke where there's going to be very little oil left on it.
Oh, barehanded.
When am I wearing gloves? I certainly know when I was in Italy, there was like the David sculpture. You had to touch it. You're like, I've got to touch this thing.
Really? Is everyone there? I've never been to Italy.
Well, it's like actually amazing. I also, in the same moment, recall being like annoyed that the guards weren't like on that shit, like making sure people weren't touching it
right there with everyone there. People do that?
There wasn't everyone.
Is it like
there
pissing
was no
the
one there?
Blarney Stone?
Maybe a little bit.
You know, Irish people piss on the Blarney Stone.
Ooh.
Go on.
I've kissed the Blarney Stone. That makes me feel gross. I was probably 13, though, when I did it. Who cares?
That's nothing but piss on there. Just a thick film.
Really? That's disgusting, Kate.
Okay, anyhow.
But I remember, like, you know, in Italy, you would see, I can't remember what museum David is in right now, but you could see.
Is it the Uffizi?
It's not the Uffizi.
The Louvre?
No, that's in France.
Fool. The Prado?
No, the Prado is in.
Spain.
There were some sculptures where, like, there were sculptures in, like, the hallway or in the stairwell that were just, like, dirty with hand oil. Just dirty. I was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And then I felt really bad that I even bothered to, like, boop. But I don't lick things. I'm not sure. He has to be referencing something, referring to something.
There is an artist who made a piece where he photographed himself with his hand on all these paintings in some collection.
I would never do that. A full hand. I don't have any interest in touching paintings. It's more sculptural things, like where I want to feel the material. Something looks soft and I want to see if it actually feels soft. God, you can't put this on. I like yell at people for touching stuff all day long.
Don't do it, people.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm being bad for even saying this. Don't you have to delete it?
But the question is, do you think that there's a codified mental disease or eccentric sexual taboo that compels people?
Maybe a codified mental disease.
I think it's all about Walter Benjamin and the fucking aura of the art.
Explain.
You want a piece of that aura in the, you know, the work of art in the age of mechanical reproduction.
I don't want a piece of the aura. Maybe you do, or maybe other people
do. You don't think that you are compelled to talk to the fucking David statue because that is the fucking David statue? Like, that is the fucking David statue. Like, fucking Michelangelo fucking boned some guy probably that looked like that, and now you're there and you can touch that. Like, that's the fucking David statue. There's only one. It's got an aura.
I'm not sure if I touched the David statue.
Well, maybe
I think there might have been a security guard right there.
Why a person
there.
Would want to?
Yeah, because
it's
a David
history.
Yeah, because it is the ghost of art.
Oh, damn. Okay, how come, with a few exceptions, when your artwork and name begins to increase in value, your voice mysteriously decreases in political sharpness and ethical gravitas?
That's good. That's intense. They're really good questions.
I would say that's not true of Andrea Fraser.
How come curators and producers adore you 1 year and then 1 year or two, and then when you least expect it, they disappear for good, never to answer your phone calls again? And you're left shivering like an abandoned bride under the rain, wondering what's wrong with your artwork and waiting for the next curator to discover you, in quotes.
Good Lord.
It's like you have to restart the process all over again.
I haven't had that experience.
I don't know that that's how that works. I'm not an artist.
It sounds like
that's something that he's experienced, which is shocking. I mean, I think it's unfortunate that anyone has to go through that kind of like, I made it. No, I didn't. I made it. No, I didn't. Like over and over and over again.
I feel like that's kind of sums up Weird Al's career.
I love Weird Al.
Weird Al, every album is a comeback album. But it's like he hasn't gone anywhere. He's always great.
I don't think he minds that, though. I think that's almost part of his thing, his act.
I mean, I think he's such a chill guy. He doesn't give a fuck.
He's amazing.
Let's kick it out to the listeners. Colin, I'd love to know what anybody else's experiences or thoughts are on this thing. Remember, this is not a live show. You can call at any time or text in. The number is 419-351-6606. Also, there's a link to the Twitter.
Barf.
For you. Never settle for less. That kind of rap is just the best. To keep your sandwich nice and fresh, stick it in your cooler. Eat it when you're ready. Then maybe you'll chew. A refreshing herbal tea.
Lovely.
Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it on up.
Wrap it on up.
I kind of said gyo.
Gyo.
Let's go ahead and give it the old wrap up.
G-Y-O.
I just would like to give a couple other suggestions or whatever's
other podcasts to listen
to.
Are these Bay Area podcasts?
Yes. There's the Apex Express.
Oh.
It's also an arts podcast. I just listened to it recently because Christian Frock was on it talking about Ai Weiwei.
Oh, cool.
I think it's like Asian and Pacific Islander perspective.
Oh, right. Yeah,
Asian
I've heard
American.
Of
it. There's a link to that down in the
Link World. Dub.
And then I'm sure we've mentioned it before, but Bad at Sports.
It's not Bay Area, but they do have some Bay Area contributors.
Yeah, they have Patricia Maloney sometimes interviews Bay Area people, other people, Andrea Frazier, on Bad at Sports.
One track mind over here.
It's a good one with mainly long form interviews.
Yeah.
Not the kind of
endearing situation at all,
that we have here on Congratulations Pine Tree. And then also We Want the Airwaves, which is not on iTunes or anything. You have to go to their website to get it. Is a really great podcast, and it's all queer and trans artists of color in the Bay Area, including Persia and Daddy's Plastic, which is one of our favorites.
Thanks, listeners. Hopefully this was an interesting episode for you. We don't need to say that. We can redact that shit.
Redacted. Anything else you want to redact real quick on this episode so we don't have to come back to it in the next episode?
On this particular one?
Any redactions?
Probably any of the really weird, awkward, long pauses that I offer
you.
Well,
I edit those up.
Thank God.
Any other redactions? I feel like there's going to be definitely things I want to redact. I redact all of it.
Okay.
I think at the end of every episode,
Twitter.
We should just redact everything we've said. I would still like people to call in and whatever.
Contact
us somehow. Tell us why Twitter is or isn't a good idea for us. Because Maysuna will never be convinced.
You know, the only people that are going to call in about fucking Twitter are the people that want us to tweet away.
That's right. Because that's everybody.
So you can just go to hell. Don't call in.
I'm going to do secret tweets from Maysoon. I'm just
going
to quote.
Dare.
I'm going to talk
take
to
your
you
ass off
you're
admin
not gonna
again.
Know that I'm
going to be deleted.
You got to remember to put me back on there tonight.
I'll do it
I'm
right
put
now.
This shit up.
That's it. You've been listening to another episode of
Congratulations Pine Tree. Congratulations.
We'll see you next week.